We are continuing our series on prayer, and this is the third installment. Let's go to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. If somebody knocks on the door, there might be pop on them if they're coming. So JR's not here to fulfill that, so we'll keep an eye on that. Matthew, chapter 6. Beginning with the 5th verse, Jesus himself is speaking to his disciples. When you pray, you are not to be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners so that they may be seen by men. Truly, I say to you, they have their reward in full. But you, when you pray, go into your inner room, close your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do. For they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. So do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Mm-hmm. Pray then in this way, verse 9, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. On earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We define prayer as intimate, personal communion with God. Intimate, personal communion with God. Every time I'd say that title or that definition rather, what a privilege that we can even have intimate personal communion with God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Sinners, enemies brought near by the blood of Jesus. So near that we can have personal, intimate communion with God. Mm-hmm. What a blessing. What power is in that blood. Amen. We just quickly reviewing again the purpose of prayer, what it is not. Again, prayer is not to get God to give you what you want. It's not to bend God's will to your will. It's not to convince God otherwise that what you want so that what you want becomes his priority. Prayer is not trying to convince God that your plans and your purposes and your will are more important than his. Her purpose of prayer is not praying to God with the mindset that God has to give you what you want. Right. I mean, that's a real big one. Mm-hmm. Well, girl, just ask, just pray. Just ask, yo, just God, you know, he had me. No, it's not that. It's what is the will of God for this situation. Mm-hmm. Prayer is not a vehicle to be used to let your request be made known and God is obligated to give it to you. It is not. It is not to fulfill a name it and claim it demand. When we ask with the wrong motives without regard for God, James 4 lets us know we will not receive an answer to that prayer because we ask with the wrong attitude. Prayer is not about us at all. It's about God. It's not about us getting our needs met. It's not about getting our desires and wishes granted to us. It is about God. The purpose of prayer is to glorify God. You know, like a lot of synonyms, purpose of prayer begins with a recognition and an understanding that God is to be glorified. Here's a synonym: worshiped, exalted, praised, honored. That's the purpose of prayer. Lord, help us to really understand that. And not only is that the purpose of our prayers, but any child of God who is praying, that is to be the purpose and priority or of their prayer. Let's go back and look at the what is commonly called the Lord's Prayer, but in actuality it is a disciples' prayer. Look at verse 9 again. He tells them to pray then this way. And then comes the first three requests. First of all, comes the recognition that we belong to God. Only Christians, only born-again believers, only spiritually resurrected saints can talk to God. A sinner cannot. God is not their father. So notice he says, pray them this way, our Father, acknowledging I am saved, I'm redeemed, and you are my father, I am your child. So first of all, there is the recognition that God is our Father, and by natural of that comes, we are his children. And he's not just any father, he's our Father who is in heaven, as opposed to a father who is on earth. Here's the first of three. Here are the three requests. Hallowed be your name. In other words, may your name be hallowed. May it be honored. May it be exalted. May it be treated as holy. May your name be hallowed. That's the first petition. The second is your kingdom come and your will be done. You see, all of that is about God the Father. That is the focus. That is that he be worshiped, that he be adored. We should be, we need to continue to transform our prayers where we are more focused with God's glory and his will being done than we are with our needs. Now, you can ask for your needs. Again, the next three gives us the next three requests, that is, or petitions, are concerning us. Give us this day our daily bread refers to what kind of needs? Anybody in the notes? Physical needs. Physical needs. And forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, our spiritual needs. And then do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil is protection from our enemies, both spiritual and natural. So, yes, meet our spiritual, physical needs. Please meet our spiritual needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, and then protect us while we sojourn on this earth. Now, that's where we stopped last time. We talked about Daniel's prayer, how Daniel acknowledged their sin and how great God is. He worshiped the Lord. And then, not until 15 verses later, does he bring forth his first petition. And then 17 lets us know the reason for the entire prayer. Lord, do all of this for your sake, O Lord. Do this for your sake. Now, we're going to talk tonight. We'll probably just stay here and probably land here and stay here until... The service is over. Look at James chapter 5. James chapter 5. We want to talk about effectual or effective prayer. Effective prayer. We kind of introduced it last week, but we want to talk about that today. Effective prayer. Let's read that from James chapter 5, verse 16. And I'll be reading it from three different translations. The first two will be the NASB and the King James. So the NASB and ASB, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. I'm reading from the King James. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Most of us know the King James Version, effectual, fervent prayer. Now, this B portion, we introduced it last time, but we're going to really take a deeper dive into it. There are two ways that you can interpret the B portion of this verse, the B portion being the effectual, fervent prayer, or the effective prayer of a righteous man avails much, or can accomplish much. There are two ways to interpret the B portion. The first way is to view the word effective or effectual. Of course, King James added fervent. Let me go over this again. There's only one word there in the Greek, and the interpreters had to figure out which is what and so forth. So that's why there are a couple of ways to look at this verse. So the first way is to view effective or effectual as an adjective describing the noun prayer. Okay, remember, an adjective describes the noun prayer. And then when you do that, then you have a phrase called effectual in the King James Version, fervent prayer. So what the translator did, they put those together, an adjective describing the word prayer, and then attempted to explain that phrase. And an explanation would look something like this, that the person praying has to be fervent when praying in order for the prayer to be effective. So the person who's praying has to be fervent when praying in order for the prayers or the prayer to be effective, to take effect. For years, as I said last Wednesday, this verse has always thrown me because that's the only interpretation I've known. Is how do you be fervent? And if your fervency then is the reason why the prayer is effective, that this didn't sit right with me. No, I just kind of just let it go. I remember trying to look up the words, but I didn't quite have the understanding of tools then, but try to look up fervent. Try to understand, so how do I get fervent? That's something I work up. Because this interpretation leaves the effectiveness of the prayer up to the person's fervent praying. It's left up to a person. And so I just put it on the burner. Until now. The effectiveness of the prayer is left up to the person's fervent praying. And because of that, this word then, effective, effectual, fervent, they made it an active as opposed to a passive situation, right? Because the person's actions makes the prayer effective. That's one way of looking at it. Here's the second way. Second way is to view effective / effectual, still as an adjective, but from a passive point of view. So I want to explain this. It's still an adjective describing prayer, but from a passive point of view. Let's do a little history on this word. The word in the Greek is energumene. E-N-E-R. We got our word energy from it. E-N-E-R. G-U-M-E-N-I. Energumene or energumene. Energumene. I'm not sure where the accent falls. But energumene is the one Greek word for what was translated by King James with two words, effectual, fervent, and The other translation just chose, for the most part, just choose effective. So the word for effective or effectual, which is energumene, in later usage, this little history lesson, so bear with me, stay with me. In later usage, it was used to refer to those who were acted on or worked on by an evil spirit. Now, don't worry about that part yet. This is what we're going to bring it together. And the word became a synonym for the demoniacs of the New Testament. So, you have a person. Remember, Jesus went and approached a person. You know, they would throw themselves in the fire. They would break the chains. And, you know, and so that person was not doing that actively. They were doing it passively because a demon had possessed the person. You follow what I'm saying? So they just are just being there. Demon possesses them, and the reason they're doing these things is because Satan is acting through them. So he's causing them to fall into the fire. He's causing them to break the chains when they try to chain a person, or to holler all night long in the tombs, or whatever it may be. So that's a passive situation because you're being acted on or through by Satan. Do we understand that or no?
Yes.
Okay. So the second way here, and I won't be dogmatic on it, but this is the way I believe it. So the commentator says, it is possible that a passive meaning of the word energumene may be intended here, and that effective describes the character of a prayer, which is more than the utterance of mere human feeling. See, that would sound, if it's the character of the prayer, meaning like it's the intrinsic nature of the prayer, as like we're human. In character, we're human. Nothing has made us human. We are human intrinsically. So if you can think about the prayer being effective, at because that's what the prayer is, I'm going to give it away, as done so by the Holy Ghost, and not because we worked up some sort of fervor. So the comment here says, so the effective describes the character of the prayer, which is more than the utterance of mere human feeling, but a prayer which has been energized by the Holy Spirit, as He, the Holy Spirit, is making intercession through us. Romans 8:26, you know that verse, in the same way the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So then I can see why a prayer can be effective. We're going to explain that word right now. Effective. Effectual. Energumene. It means to show oneself operative. Means to work, to effect, to produce, to bring about, to make possible. It means, again, to be operative, to work, produce, to effect, to bring about, to make possible. All of this energy, from the word energumene, all of this energy, all of this power, all of this effectiveness concerning our prayer is supplied by the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you for letting me go through all of that. So if you think about going back to the person who's on the negative side, who's possessed by the reason he's doing all that, all of that is being supplied by Satan to the person. Well, on the positive side here, the effectiveness and the power and the energy is supplied by the Holy Spirit, not us. That's good news. A prayer is effective when it is energized by the Holy Spirit. So that's why I like the Berean literal translation. That's another Bible translation. It reads, therefore, confess the sins to one another, pray for one another so that you may be healed. Here's the B portion. The prayer of a righteous man being made effective, here's the passage, being made effective, prevails much. Being made effective. Who makes it effective? Holy Spirit. See, now that makes sense after 40 years of, now I said, that just doesn't, and the way it was taught, even by folks that I would consider heroes and giants of the faith. I'm not going to, start any war over it, but that makes more sense than us having to work up some sort of, some sort of activity. It just didn't set right. And if we are the ones that have to do that, then where does God fit in all of that? Like it's all on our shoulders. So I really prefer the passive where the Holy Spirit makes it effective and he's working it through us, bringing about what God desires. So it would appear that this word for effective is not an adjective that describes the noun prayer, but instead it describes the character of the prayer. Character means the intrinsic nature, the internal makeup, what it is at its core. Well, the Holy Spirit made that, and that's what it is at its core. It describes the character of the prayer, not a condition that has to be met by our prayers. Not a condition that has to be met. And that's good news.
Pastor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So, effective is describing the character.
Yeah, the character, which is the nature, the intrinsic nature. It's like human describes your intrinsic nature. So the Holy Spirit then is the one who makes the prayer effective. That's what it is. Not that it has to become that based on our fervent praying. Yeah. If not, we'll see something after that. It's not quite clear. Yeah, so thank God that the reason we can have understanding as to why a prayer is effective. Right. Now, who qualifies? And we'll get to that in a moment, too, what effective means. I mean, what prevails much means. Who qualifies for this prayer? Look at verse 16 again. Are you there? The prayer, that word means petition, appeal, request, plea, all of that. The prayer, a petition, appeal, a request, or a plea of a righteous man. And notice again, further proof that not anybody can just pray to God. Not a sinner cannot. He's not their father. They are not righteous. Notice the prayers of a righteous person is the one that's effective. A righteous person is one who is justified by the blood of Jesus. Justified means that you have been made righteous. That means that you are now in right standing with God. We are no longer under the wrath of God. Thank you, Jesus. The debt has been paid. The death has been died. That's not good English, but you know what I'm saying. Yes, thank you, Lord. So because of that, we've been declared righteous. So he took our sin and He gave us his righteousness. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 5. That he who knew no sin became sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. That's the person who is qualified for this kind of prayer. One who is justified by the righteousness of Christ. Someone once wrote, and has the truth of God's word in him, and lives soberly and righteously in this present world. That's the person who's qualified. Now, the phrase at the end, prevails much, availeth much, prevails much. This phrase here, if you are understanding that the Holy Spirit is energizing the prayer and supplies the power and the effectiveness of the prayer, then there is, you can understand why it's going to prevail much. Because the effectiveness comes from the Holy Spirit, and of course it's going to prevail. Now, the literal Greek word for the word prevail means has great force, is mighty in power, and is powerful. It is effective. It prevails. It succeeds. It triumphs. It conquers. It overcomes. It is victorious. Wow. That's a powerful, powerful prayer. Now, you know, all of this is turn to 1 John chapter 5. You know, we can't ever get past. You have to put other scriptures in there with it to make sure. We read it earlier. We're going to read it again. Verse 14. 1 John 5:14. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will. You see those four words? Yeah. No prayer is going to be effective, powerful, and bringing out what God desires unless it's prayed according to his will. If you want a prayer, how do I pray a prayer that avails much or that prevails, that's powerful? Easy answer. Pray the word of God. Pray before an open Bible. You can almost turn any verse into a prayer. There are many, many, many prayers in here itself, and then there are verses that you can turn into prayers. Many. So you're taking the anointed word of God and praying it back to him. That's a prayer that's going to be very powerful. That makes sense, saints? Yeah. That's going to be a powerful, powerful prayer. Because that is according to the will of God. And he guarantees it in verse 14, that if you ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have requests which we have asked. We know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Now, remember, it says verse 15, and if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, you know what's already implied to that, according to the will of God in verse 14. That's why you got to keep things together. And beware of folks that take stuff out of context. Because they'll make a whole religion out of that, which they have. No, he just said in verse 14 that if you ask according to his will, he hears us. And if we know he hears us because we're praying according to his will, then whatever we ask according to his will, we know that we have the request which we have asked from him. When I pray for you all, I generally do not pray for CFM, circumstances, finances, or material things. I do not pray for those things for the most part. Everything is spiritual. The biggest thing I pray for you all is to become absolutely thirsty for God. The first prayer that I pray is, Lord, help us to crave you as a deer pants for the water brooks. Help us to pant for you, to long for you, to desire you. As if we were in a land where no water is. Mm-hmm. That's the prayer, to crave. Then the second is to crave the word, because you can't crave one without the other. As a newborn baby desires a sincere, pure milk of the word, Lord, help us to crave that. Crave him. And then growth, that we may grow. We talk about growth, development. That's what I pray. As I said before, because you can have every financial situation met, you can have all your circumstances just wonderful, and all your material goods you got, and still not be mature, still not have any, just a minimal, but a minimal desire for God. Yeah. And too many Christians are living a defeated life. Saved, shown up, risen from the dead, for real. But just, and so, circumstances and finances and material things are, that's way second. And even to put it second behind that is still too close.
Right.
I mean, it's just nothing there. The true riches is that we crave God. We crave his word. That we're obeying. That there is spiritual growth. That we're progressing in sanctification.
Yes, amen.
That's what I pray for you all. Pray for us all. And I know he's hearing that prayer. Because I just get the open Bible and just pray it right before him. Amen. Let's look at one example. I'm going to read. Let's go back to James chapter 5. I just want to reread the definition of prevails much. Prevails. I want you to really catch that, how powerful the Holy Spirit makes your prayers when you pray in God's will. Look, listen to this again. The word prevails, you know, once the Holy Spirit energizes it and makes it effective by his power, yes, it's going to prevail. Absolutely. Prevail again means it has great force, is mighty in power, and is powerful. It is effective. The word prevails means that it succeeds, triumphs, conquers, overcomes, and it is victorious. Mm. So if I'm praying for you, for me, for us, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I'm praying for us that we crave God like the deer pants for the water brooks, that we crave him as much as we would water when there is no water in the land, because you're walking across a big desert, you're going to crave water and nothing else. You want water. Like a newborn baby wants milk and milk only. See, those prayers will be answered according to his will. We know that that is his will. It will overcome. It will be victorious. Let's give, as we get ready to close, this, what a time just shoots by so fast. Let's look at a couple of examples of effective prayer energized by the Holy Spirit. Look at Abraham, look at Genesis chapter 24. This is Abraham's servant, his prayer, the servant of Abraham. Genesis 24, verse 1, starting at verse 1. Genesis 24, verse 1. And I like that we're starting with the Abraham's servant, not even Abraham. So the effective prayer, you don't have to be famous, or you just need to be a child of God. And of course, you do need to be a modicum of righteousness going on in your life as well, too, because sin definitely destroys the relationship, temporarily separates us from God. Doesn't permanently do, but sin does temporarily separate us from God.
Yeah.
As Peter was separated temporarily, but he didn't ultimately fall away, but he failed in that moment. But thank God that the saints persevere. The perseverance of the saints. We will make it to the end. That's good news. Verse 1, Abraham was old, advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in every way. Wow. Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that Abraham owned. Abraham said, please place your hand under my thigh, and I will make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you shall not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I live. So the servant is made to take an oath that my son Isaac, you'll make sure that he does not get a daughter from the Canaanites. Why? Because they did not know God. Skip down to verse 9. So the servant placed his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. You got that? The servant swore, I will do that. Verse 10. Then the servant took 10 camels from the camels of his master and set out with a variety of good things of his master's in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia, to the city of Nahor. Verse 11. He made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at evening time, the time when the women go out to draw water. Here's his prayer. O Lord, the God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show loving kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now, may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also. So she's going to say two things. She's going to say, drink, and she's going to also say, and I will water your camels also. May she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. See, although we don't run into praying according to his will until 1 John, it's been that, here we are in Genesis. That's always been God's will. You don't get from me unless it's my will. Mm-hmm. That's what the Gospels, remember we said about it last week, I think, or a couple weeks ago, the phrase in Jesus' name embodies the according to my will. Well, here, same thing. He says that in verse 14, now may it be that the girl to whom I say, please let down your jar so that I may drink, and who answers, drink, and I will water your camels also, may she be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown loving kindness to my master. Look, y'all, the next verse. Before he had finished speaking, so he was still praying, behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor, came out with her jar on her shoulders. The girl was very beautiful, a virgin, and so forth. Go down to verse 18. Verse 17. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your jar. She said, drink, my lord. That's the first part. Remember, he's going to say drink. Drink, my lord. And she quickly lowered her jar to her hand and gave him a drink. 19. Now, when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw also for your camels until they have finished drinking. Are you seeing that? So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran back to the well to draw, and she drew for all his camels. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence. There's the reason. To know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. Notice he just didn't jump in. That's another teaching there. You slow play it. Is this you, Lord? Let me be sure. Love that. Not just jumped in. My name is Joseph. No, Mary's pregnant, and he's like, I didn't do it. What's going on? The angel told him that don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. She says conceive a child and bear a son. And the word of God says, while Joseph pondered, thought on these things. He just didn't jump at it. Verse 21 again. Meanwhile, the man was gazing at her in silence to know whether the Lord had made his journey successful or not. While he was yet praying. I know it's real simple, but it's prayer to God according to his will. If you're righteous and you're praying according to his will, that prayer is going to be answered. Period. I'm not saying when. And most of the time it's not going to be while you're still praying. But I just want to show you, and him getting it, the Lord choosing to answer his prayer while he hadn't even finished praying doesn't make it more effective than if you get it 20 years later. Right. You follow what I'm saying? Right. So it's about praying the will of God from the word of God. In our case, they didn't have the word then, to God, and then just watch him work according to his will. We'll stop there. Yeah, we'll stop there. But that is from a person who is a slave of Abraham. The Lord answered his prayer. Why? Because the Lord's eyes are over the righteous, and his ears are attentive to prayers. Righteous, righteous, righteous. If you're born again, you've been made righteous. Remember, justification is a monergistic word. It's all God. Monerg. You go to the word erg, energy. Right. Mono, one. Energy spent by one to produce what the one desired. That was for us to be made righteous. Thank you, Jesus. Because we were spiritually dead. But there was nothing we could do to be righteous. And he made us righteous. Thank you, Jesus. And then says, hey, come on up in here boldly to the throne of grace. Because when we were made righteous, the throne of wrath became a throne of grace. Incredible.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
While we were yet enemies,
yes,
Christ died for the ungodly.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
And then invites us for intimate communion. And you know what? We're not walking in that. I'm talking about not just here. I'm talking about all over the King, God's kingdom. Yes, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. We're not walking in intimate fellowship with God. Here's a prayer. Lord, help us to get to that point where we desire to intimately communicate with you. There were times Jesus spent all night in prayer. That's not about the length of time. It's not about that. That's why notice what the prayer was that I just prayed was, give us the desire to want to pray to you, to talk to you, to commune with you. That's what I pray, Father. That's what I pray. Let me, as we close, practice what we're preaching here, praying before an open Bible. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Father. Father God, I now pray for us, your people. Pray that as the deer pants and longs for the water brooks, that we, your people, will pant and long for you. That our inner self, our soul, will thirst for you, the only true and living God. Father God, we acknowledge you that you are our God and our Father. Help us to seek you earnestly, to thirst for you, that our flesh would yearn and faint for you as being in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I ask, Father, that we put away all sin, all malice, all deceit, hypocrisies, envies, and slanders, those being plural, Father. And like a newborn baby, I pray to help us intensely crave, thirst, earnestly desire your word, that by it we may be nurtured and grow into respects of salvation. We may grow into that. And one more, Father, I pray. Thank you, Father. And lastly, I pray, 1 Peter 1, 2 Peter 1. I thank you that by your divine power, we have access to all things that pertain to life and godliness. I thank you that we have that you have granted to us your precious and very great promises, so that through them we are a partaker of your divine nature and have escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desires. By your power, Father, please help us to make every effort to supplement our faith with virtue, and our virtue with knowledge, and our knowledge with self-control, and our self-control with steadfastness, and our steadfastness with godliness, and our godliness with brotherly affection, and our brotherly affection with love. Help us to have these qualities ever increasing in our lives, so that we are effective and fruitful in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.